Yeah, it's interesting how sometimes you can sing a song for a long time and then just somehow out of the blue the words just hit you a little differently. And that was what that was this morning. Great is your faithfulness to me, or great is your faithfulness. And I just, yeah, sometimes it's important to remember that. It's important to remember, you know what, God is always here. He's always with me, and he will constantly guide me as long as I am willing. Thanks for that, band. That's not going to sit like that. That's all right. This morning, I often like to try and preach about things that I want to learn about. I want to learn more about. And that's often where I pull a lot of inspiration for what I want to share. And I feel like that's how God kind of works through me and inspires me and wants me to talk about things. And this morning, I've been challenged personally in my own life in regards to fellowship, right? What is fellowship? And it got me thinking, it got me looking into, okay, well, how deep does this go? Because this is a real Christian word, isn't it? We hear it all the time, fellowship. Fellowship, fellowship, coffee, cake and fellowship, right? That's the way it is. They all go together. And it's a wonderful thing. But as I'm sure you are aware, it goes a lot deeper than that, right? Fellowship isn't just friendship, right? Friendship is a part of fellowship. But friendship can be wavering. Friendship is sometimes, I don't know, friendship is a good, I guess, way to sum up what fellowship might be, but I think fellowship has a certain depth to it that God has taken aside and said, nah, I'm going to set fellowship aside. This is a fellowship, in a way, is a spiritual practice. Fellowship is something that can build the kingdom of God. Friendship is good, but friendship isn't necessarily going to be what's building the kingdom of God and taking ground in his name. Amen? Yeah, so I want to talk about this morning. I want to talk about, well, firstly, what friendship is going to be, and then I actually want to talk about some of the pillars of what I feel fellowship is at its core. So come with me. So this morning, fellowship. We have this concept, right, that I've actually pulled a little bit this morning from this book called Spiritual Disciplines. It's written by Adele Calhoun, and it's a fantastic book. Have you guys done this? Have you used this book too? You guys who have done the Cert 4? No? Different? Okay, cool. Anyway, I picked this up when I was doing my Cert 4. It's fantastic. It literally lists out all of these different spiritual disciplines and how you can apply them to your life, to church life, to all sorts of different situations. And I pulled a bit from this morning because it is really good stuff. So, I want to talk about the difference between having fellowship versus being devoted to fellowship. Right. So on a Sunday morning, we say, okay, we're going to have fellowship now outside and we're going to have cake and tea, right? We're going to have fellowship. But this is not necessarily what fellowship is supposed to be. It says here in Acts 2 verses 42, and they devoted themselves in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers, right? This is, you are putting together. Fellowship is brought together here as something that is integral to everything that we believe in. You're talking, this is coming alongside the apostles' doctrine, breaking bread, which is communion, and it is also in prayer. These are core beliefs. These are central to what we believe in. And devotion, not devotion, fellowship is right there amongst them. This is talking about how important fellowship is in everything that we do. We are devoting ourselves to fellowship in the same way that we are to devote ourselves to Scripture and devote ourselves to prayer. Having fellowship is being around friends and like-minded people, and that is okay. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. That is fantastic, but I want to talk about the importance of what fellowship is. So we are devoting to fellowship, and it has a great scope, and it has a great purpose. So fellowship involves all believers, right? And this is where the church can be an interesting place sometimes, because churches, we tend to get along with people who we're friends with, right? We find like-minded people and we come across and we form stronger connections with those, and sometimes it can be harder to form connections across a greater group. But what fellowship is supposed to be is it is supposed to be forming connection across a large community, right? A larger group. So even in modern Hebrew today, we see... Okay, in modern Hebrew, right, this is an example I wanted to share this morning. So in Hebrew, in modern Israel, we see on the we see on the buses, right? On their buses, they have the word ASF, right? ASF or MESF, right? And this is on the front of all the buses. And this literally means that it stops at every stop, right? Now, this is a biblical word, right? This is a biblical Hebrew word that literally says, and it is brought up in conjunction with fellowship, right? And it's stemming from this idea that friendship is kind of like between a couple, potentially, of people, if you call it friendship. But fellowship is meant to be everyone. It is involving an entire community where you are devoting yourselves to one another, right? You are open and you are connected with each and every person you are in community with. And this takes, and I'm talking about this because this is affecting me as well, and I challenge myself in this. This is affecting us personally because sometimes it's not easy to go talk to someone who you haven't got a strong connection with. Am I being honest here this morning? Am I preaching to the crowd, yeah? It is not easy to speak with someone who you don't feel like you have that strong connection with. But this is what fellowship is. Fellowship is breaking down those walls so that we can actually, okay, let's get together as a community. We're gonna work on this. We are to devote ourselves, not just have it, but devote ourselves to it. There is a big difference there. I love it. So, pillars of fellowship. This is going to split up into multiple messages, I think, if that's okay with Pastor Mel. But this morning I want to talk about mostly community and relationship, right? That's one pillar. So pillar one, community and relationship, for those who are taking notes. Pillar two is discipleship and mentoring. Pillar three is hospitality and service. And pillar four is unity and spirituality. This morning, because these topics can be massive, right? Like, this can be huge. So this morning, I just want to focus on community and relationship. And when I say relationship, I'm more so talking along the lines of face-to-face connection, right? Relationship that is come about in person with others. So, how is community, so what is community, right? And how do we bring it into the fellowship context? I believe that community is the desire to express and reflect the self-donating love of the Trinity, investing in and journeying with others. It is the desire to express and reflect the self-donating love of the Trinity, investing in and journeying with others. We are investing in other people. We're coming alongside other people. This isn't just friendship where we're with them with the good times, right? That it can feel like sometimes. Fellowship can run deeper than that. We can be there in thick. I mean, you're supposed to say that with friendship through thick and thin, but sometimes that doesn't happen, right? Sometimes friends fail us. Whereas if we are, at least in theory, at least if we are together in fellowship as a community, then we will not be let down by our community. There will always be somebody in our community to come alongside us. There will always be somebody in our community to help lift us up or to bring us back to God or to bring us back to the eyes of Jesus, the light of Jesus. So by definition, community should be Christian. A Christian community exists when believers connect with each other in authentic and loving ways that encourage growth in Christ. They engage in transparent relationships that cultivate, celebrate, and make evident Christ's love for the world. We are here in one mind, in one vision, and in one cord. We're here for the same reason. We're here for the same purpose, and that is to grow God's kingdom. 1 Timothy 3, verses 14 to 15, it says, and this is Paul talking, by the way, 1 Timothy 3, I am writing these things to you now, even though I hope to be with you soon. Sorry, I didn't read that very well. I'm writing to you these things now, even though I hope to be with you soon, so that if I'm delayed, you will know how people must conduct themselves in the household of God. This is the church of the living God, which is the pillar and foundation of the truth. Paul, and if you want to read about it in 1 Timothy 3, it goes into depth across that whole chapter around, well, this is what community should be. This is how the church should be the church. He lays it out. I'm not going to read all that this morning. But Paul talks about it. He prioritizes it in Colossians 3, verses 15 to 16. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. As members of one body, as we prayed about this morning, we are here as one. We serve different purposes and we're all different and we are all unique. And that is what brings strength. God knows this. Diversity is the greatest thing that we have. Now, that can sometimes make friendship, community sometimes, fellowship, that can make those things difficult because we may not always see eye to eye with those around us. But that is actually okay. That is what God uses to strengthen a large population. If we were all the same as me, right? One, we wouldn't get everything done. And two, we wouldn't have any hair, right? Oh, I'm Ben. Sorry, Ben. But yes, we are like-minded, aren't we, Ben? I guess. Yeah. Anyway, moving on. So we can be like-minded, and it is important, though, to know that, okay, we actually set out to be different. And God wants us that way, and God wants us to be different. And the tricky part can be, okay, how can we, as a group, work together with one another to achieve the purpose that God has set out before us? So in practice, this book has brought up something called the one another's, right? In practice. Practice the one another's, like as in two words, one another's, yeah? You kind of get what I'm getting at here. All right, 1 Corinthians 10, verses 17. Because there is one loaf, we, who are many, are one body. We all partake of the one loaf. This book talks about, okay, the one another's. So it says, love one another. You get where I'm going with this? Encourage one another. Bear one another's burdens. Care for one another. Accept one another. Be kind to one another. Live in harmony with one another. Forgive one another. Be hospitable to one another. Honor one another. Belong to one another. Be devoted to one another. Speak truthfully to one another. And the list just keeps going. I love them. Teach one another. Agree with one another. Look out for one another. Worship for one another. Lay down your lives for one another. Do not provoke one another. Do not grumble against one another. Do not envy one another. And the list could go on. But if you want this list, I can give it to you. There's Bible verses that come right the way throughout it as well. But it is, I think it's incredible in how it just provides grounding or a basis for how we can serve each other within this community. And I really like the idea of don'ts to one another. Because obviously we can talk about how we can lift each other up a lot. But there's also things we can do that can tear each other down. So let's make sure we're doing everything we can to be practicing the one another's. So with community, we should be practicing and cultivating authentic relationships, right? Authentic relationships is tricky because we live in a world where we think, or not what we think, but like we have, again, the notion of social media. We do, like, social media serves a purpose, and it's great for what it does, but it is not a good substitute for what community and fellowship is supposed to be. Right now, we've coming, this book and whatever this talk is talking about, when we talk about what COVID was like a real block. It put up a big block and it put up a lot of screens and it put up a lot of ways to deter us from meeting in person. Right? And so I feel like the church is doing a good job as a whole. The whole church is doing a good job at starting to pull that stuff down and return to back to the face-to-face, right? But I feel as though out in the world and out in our communities, they are not as willing yet. They are still working towards the importance and establishing that face-to-face connection or establishing community. Like it happens at work where I can go into, like, I work in air conditioning, so I can service office blocks and stuff like that. You can walk in, and it'll be a full office block, and like, a full floor, and there'll only be two people there. Everybody else is working at home. Now, look, you talk about working conditions, and I understand it's not for everybody, whatever else. But 3 years ago, or however long it was, 4 years ago, that whole floor would have been full of people. It has, I think, hit us harder than what we're willing to admit to, in the fact that we are becoming more isolated and technology is taking over. You know, I don't want to beat up technology, right? But technology is great. It serves its purpose. But it is, at its core, it is changing our community. It is changing who we are. So we need to be aware of this, not to just to tear it down, but let's prioritize community. Let's start to prioritize authentic relationship. Let's say, yes, this is good, but this is better. Relationship, genuine in face-to-face relationship is better. So some people have gifting, right? Some people have the gift of fellowship. Right? They are connectors. They are good at bringing people together. I'm looking at people who are really good at it now, right? Bringing people together. Let's use those gifts. We should be engaging in hospitality that promotes honest sharing and caring. Life groups are fantastic for this. When we meet on a Sunday morning, it's fantastic for this. You can do this. You can organize meetups with people within the church. That's fantastic for this. We are to engage in hospitality. Small group connections are fantastic for this in practice. We have to have accountability partners or prayer partners. If this is something where you feel you want connection, don't sit there and wait for it to come to you. If you want accountability, go get it. There are fantastic people in this church. Fantastic people who have wisdom, who have followed God their entire life. Maybe not all of them entire life, but they have been changed by the love and the Spirit of God. Seek these people out. If you need to help, go get it. Don't let it just wait for it to come to you. And we should be encouraging each other. Come on. Woo! We need to encourage each other in this mission together. We need to encourage each other. It's good. So if we do these things, we should see that we will keep, as a community, as a group of people, we will keep company with Jesus in everything that we do. Whether it's something that is good for the community or even something that's tearing the community down, right? If there is something that comes across in the community for good or even for bad, we will remain in company with Jesus because of the entire group, because we are together, right? We should also see the removal of that crippling spirit of isolation and even that spirit of independence. Again, COVID was a really good example of how we have become more dependent in ourselves. But I think that God never intended for us to be independent. We were never, ever made to be on our own, right? And this can smother, I believe, this can smother churches. Independence, that thought of, I can do this by myself, right? Which there's nothing wrong with resilience and there's nothing wrong with trying to do things by yourself. But sometimes we need to start turning to others. We need to start saying, look, okay, I understand I might be trying to be a bit independent and headstrong with this, but just try and start turning to others. Start to allow God to work and maybe even soften your heart in this. Other fruit could be moving from independence and self-absorbance to others-centeredness, right? Self-absorption, that's another one. And look, when we bring, if we cultivate this as a church, when people from the community who don't know what church is, or they've come from maybe a church that is hurtful and has hurt them, when there is a community here that is bearing this fruit, right, they will come in and they will see it, right? And they will, I don't know, it may take them time to adjust. Right? So I'm saying this because there will be people who are coming in with a heart of independence. There are people who are coming in with a heart of isolation. And then it is up to us, and through the Spirit of God, we can say, look, this is what it should be. This is who we are. And this is what God is supposed to be. Right? This is the kingdom of God. So let's practice these things and the fruit will show. We will be growing in love and growing in concern for others. We will have a relational rather than a functional definition of identity. That's an interesting one. So when it comes to who we see, who do you see yourself as being? Who are you? Are you what you do? Are you, okay, this is my work, this is who I am? Or Do you see yourself as being relational in God? My identity isn't actually what I do. It's not actually where I live, but in fact, it's actually this is my God. This is who I am through him. So having that shift between a functional identity versus a relational identity will be a fruit that comes forth if we continue to practice community. We'll start practicing Matthew 18. This is the last one. We'll start practicing Matthew 18, verse 15. And it reads, "If another believer sins against you, go privately and point out the offense. If the other person listens and confesses it, you have won that person back." Nothing will be able to shake a community if they are united and together and in community and in fellowship. Because we will be able to, in maturity and through God, be able to handle what comes against us. We're people. People hurt each other. People get things wrong. People mess things up, right? But it is the idea here in Matthew 18, verse 15, that you can go to your brother and sister, and in love, you can sort these things out. In love. And let's not do it via text message. Just, I don't know, like, this is where emails, text messaging, phone calls, we need to be careful. And I think it says here, go privately and point out the offense. If the person listens and confesses it, you have won them back. It doesn't say, go text or send an email. It says here, go privately. Speak the truth in love. Becoming part of a community that is larger than yourself and your own goals, possessions, and achievements when we speak truth. So relationship, right? So that was community. That was if we practice community and then the fruit that we will see from that. When we talk about relationship or face-to-face connection, which is part two of this pillar, the desire here is to connect with people below the surface of words and conversation. I think face-to-face connection happens through the gift of presence and body language. This is something it's something that firstly we try and teach children when they're young, but even when as adults, like I went and did training in counseling. I did a diploma of counseling. A massive part of that is teaching adults, including myself, how to have body language and how to have face-to-face contact. Like there, not that there are rules, but there is a right way to communicate with someone in person and there is a wrong way to communicate with someone in person. And all of that comes through body language and what you do with your face, your tone of voice, attitude. So I think this is really important as the church, and especially if we're trying to reach a community that may have lost some of that, we need to be practicing that. We kind of need to be good at it, right? And it's something we can work on together. So Genesis 32 verse 30, Jacob named the place Peniel, which means face of God. For he said, "I have seen God face to face, yet my life has been spared." Right? Jacob is awed by the face of God. I love the fact that and even here in Exodus 33 verse 11, I'll jump straight into this before I make that point. Inside the tent of meeting, the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend. After Moses would return to the camp, but the young man who assisted him, Joshua, son of Nun, would remain behind in the tent of meeting. Right? Our God wants to meet face to face. He met others face to face, and this was before the time of Jesus. Right? So the sovereignty of God and the righteousness of God was that great that it was only the chosen few that could actually engage with God face to face. A very small number. We, because of what Jesus has done, are now free to commune with our God. Now, whether we have this moment of face to face or not, I don't know. It's up to you and how God wants, not up to you, but how God reveals himself to you. But God has this connection, this importance of being face to face. It doesn't just stem from us as humans. It stems from God, and it stems from the people and how he wanted to connect with those who were closest to him. He wanted to connect with Moses. He wanted to connect with Jacob, so he met with them face to face. And, funnily enough, he did not smite them. So our God has love. Psalm 27, verse 8. My heart has heard you say, come and talk with me. And my heart responds, Lord, I am coming. Our God wants to connect with you. We talk about face-to-face with each other, but it's important to be connecting with God. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 12. Now we see things imperfectly. Now we see things imperfectly, like puzzling reflections in a mirror. But then we will see everything with perfect clarity. All that I know now is partial and incomplete. But then I will know everything completely, just as God knows me completely. Sometimes we do see things in puzzles, or most of the time, I feel like I do at least. I see things in puzzles, I see things in reflections in a mirror, and it's not clear where I'm going or what I'm doing or what's happening. But God knows. And sometimes God will choose to reveal that to us in the right time. And we hold on to those times. This last Bible verse here, 3 John chapter 1, verses 13 to 14. I have much more to say to you, but I don't want to write it with pen and ink. For I hope to see you soon, and then we will talk face to face. Again, this prioritization of face to face community and contact. So if we practice face to face, how do we practice face to face contact, right? So being here in church is fantastic, right? It's already helping us a lot to go a really long way with that, right? It's hard having conversations face to face. Right, it can often be easy to have a phone call or even what's it called? Skype and the other one. There's another one. I've forgotten. That's the one, Zoom. So if we make time, right, we actually say, right, God, I'm actually gonna make time to catch this person for coffee. I'm gonna make time to do this. Right? If we set that aside, if we practice that aside, we will start to see fruit. We will start to see a difference if we make the time. We need to be clearing and practicing. We need to be observing our own body language, right? Not just even observing our own body language, but let's observe the body language of others. We need to appreciate, if we practice body language and seeing people in face-to-face, we will start to appreciate who people are and how God loves them, right? And I feel like this is a really important point when it comes to this idea of fellowship, and in particular people who you may not get along with like super well, is actually, okay, if you are communicating with them face to face, you will start to get a bigger picture of who they are. You will start to see, and if you ask God and watch, you'll start to see who God has created this person to be. You'll start to see how much God loves them and why God has made them who they are. The idea is we don't have to go around, we do have to love one another, but we don't have to be best mates with everybody either, right? Fellowship isn't about being mates. Fellowship is about growing the kingdom of God and being connected as a community through thick and thin, right? Highs and lows. So if we are growing in our ability to be able to communicate with one another, that only strengthens what fellowship and community is going to be. So we need to prioritize then in-person connection, right? It is not easy. We do live busy lives, right? And look, like, life is different compared to what it was 1,000 years ago or whatever it was when they were communicating with each other, right? They spent a lot of time walking, right? They spent it from town to town or to shops, whatever else. Like, they had a lot of time. We do it, and I'm shocking for this. I'm really good at making myself busy, and we all can be. But we need to prioritize in-person connection. Like something we started doing this week, me, Hannah, and Henry. We were like, initially, Henry, we wanted to feed him a bit earlier because he's young, obviously, and I've often started to eat real late. Right? Not often. We have always kind of ate around 7:30 time, which is quite late for a little baby, obviously, right? So we've come out and said, look, no. We want to eat at the dining table together. So we have prioritized and we have said, no, this is how we're going to do things. And we have prioritized this in-person connection, right? Because we think it's going to be important for our son going forward. It is going to be important for us going forward. And the same thing I think can apply when it comes to meeting with people. We need to prioritize, okay, I'm going to catch this person this week, even if it is just a phone call, even if it's just a text. And it's like, no, I'm going to prioritize connection. Even better, let's prioritize the in-person connection. And I'm speaking to myself because at least when I come home from work, the last thing I want to go do is connect with a bunch of people. I don't know what everybody else is like, but for me personally, when I'm driving home, it's about an hour and a half on the way home. The last thing I want to do is go have a big meeting or go talk to lots of people. Like, I'm cooked, I'm spent, and I'm sure a lot of you guys are the same. But we need to try and practice and switch our way of thinking to prioritize people. Fellowship isn't always easy. We are to devote ourselves to fellowship. Not just have fellowship, but devote. Work at it. Like prayer, like reading scripture, like spending time alone with God. So listen and ask open-ended questions. That always helps. It always helps. All right, so the fruit, lastly. Scotty, if you could come up, mate, that'd be fantastic. Thanks. So if we start to practice in-face connection, we'll start to be able to have presence with one another. We'll start to be able to, like, I think there's endurance that comes with this, right? I don't know about everybody else, but, like, I feel like I have a people tolerance. Now, I don't know whether this is because I'm more of an intrinsic person or not a social bug. Some people really love people and connection, and they flourish in that environment. Myself, I tend to be a little bit more worn down by people. Now, there's nothing wrong with either of those things as long as we are aware of it, but we can start to grow our resilience to that. We can start to grow being able to be present with each other the more that we do it. We will start to see the ability to give and show genuine compassion and empathy through connection. Again, compassion and empathy, they can be practiced. They can be grown. As you continue to show empathy to one another, that will dwell and grow within you. As you start to see other people, as you start to genuinely see other people through the lens of the Holy Spirit, through the eyes of who God has created these people to be, you will start to grow in compassion for others and display empathy. We'll start to see a sense of spiritual and emotional fullness after spending time with someone. The more time you get to spend with someone, the likelihood is probably the more likely you're going to start to like them. That's just what it is. We'll improve in listening skills, right? I know for me, as I said, I got a limit. I need to try and work on increasing my limit, because if I am with people and it's just talking the whole time, I spend the whole time listening, I often lose focus. I start to, like, have this, you know, the haze sets in, and you start, like, just looking into the distance as the person keeps talking. That's not what good listening is. We need to remain steadfast in listening. I'm just being honest with you because I feel like I can stand up here and be honest. I really don't care. I do care, but, like, I don't care what you think about me. Anyway, last point. The fruit that we will see is we will have love. What did I write? We will be loving with eyes and voice, and the presence of God will dwell within us. And it will be evident. It won't just be, we're not just talking about this. This is real. So we have this concept of fellowship that is vital to who we are. This isn't something that we just have on a Sunday, right? And what we have out there is fantastic. I'm not bagging that, right? That is awesome what we have out there. But we have an opportunity to really drive this somewhere else, to really open this up as a community and open it up to our community. So if we practice community, if we practice face-to-face connection, we have fellowship. We will start to grow. We will start to develop this. And people will want to be here. People will want to come in. They will want to invest and be a part of what we have, because it's not us that makes it great. It is the kingdom of God that we are serving and we are cultivating and allowing Him to move through. This is about providing a space where God can do His thing. That's what this is. That's what church is. Amen? Stand with me this morning as we pray. Band, you can come up. Lord God, we thank You that You loved us first. And Lord God, we thank You that You serve us. And through the love and how You love and show that love to us, may we also love others. We thank You that Your Son came and He died on the cross so that we can now be in relationship with You, that we can now be righteous in Your eyes. So Father, this morning, if we need help, if we need a heart adjustment, or whether we need some confidence, Lord God, I just pray that you bring that upon us here this morning, that you create opportunities for us to practice this concept of fellowship, this concept of opening ourselves up and being honest with one another, lifting each other up. May we be able to practice community, practice being with one another, whether it's through the good times, whether it's through the bad times. Father, may our hearts and minds be open to each other, Father. And Lord God, I know they're all probably already open, but Father, we pray for more of that. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you work through us and you strengthen us for what we don't have, with what we don't have. So Lord God, we pray that as we go about our week, as we go about not just this week, but weeks and years to come, may we try to cultivate and devote ourselves to fellowship. And Lord God, as that happens, as that takes place, may your kingdom come and may your kingdom grow. And Lord Father, if we need to be stirred, may we be stirred, Father. If we need to be encouraged, let us be encouraged. And in all times, Father, if we ever need anything from you, may we say the name of Jesus. And may we proclaim his name and walk in his spirit. And Father, if we can't, if we're struggling with that, Lord God, may we seek out others. May we go about looking to other people. Lord God, we praise your name and give you all the glory. Amen. Amen.